Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 28th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 64, the first paragraph. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory and we'll be reading that one paragraph only and commenting on that paragraph. Today's readers are Leslie M. for the 12 Steps, Athena B. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Sandy W. and K.P., and Mo H. is our greeter, and Janice P.M. will be making our announcements today. The share ID for Sunday, July 21st, the special edition. Sorry, I'm going off an old piece of paper. The share ID for Sunday, October 27th, the special edition is 13,579. And for this morning's meeting, October 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 13,581. That's 13581. Okay, our newcomer greeter for today, I think I said that, it's Mo H. And Janice PM will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Leslie M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Leslie M. Athena B., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
I would be happy to. Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service. Thank you for your service. And I pass.
Thank you, Athena B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 64, the first paragraph, which begins with, therefore, we started upon a personal inventory, and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Leslie. Sorry, Sandy W., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks so much for your service. Yes, from the Big Book. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step 4. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock in trade. One object is to disclose damaged or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. And again, this is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. And as I was reading that, I was reminded, when I was in high school, I worked in a retail department store, and I remember the annual inventory we had to take, which I often dreaded because we had to work later hours and it was dull and monotonous. Well, when I got to my step 4 inventory, I also dreaded it, but really for different reasons. You know, it was so hard to think of looking deep inside me at my resentments and fears and misconduct. But once, you know, upon completing the step, I realized how wrong I was. The way I was instructed to do step 4, according to exactly how this Big Book presents it, it was so much simpler and faster than many of the ways I had heard elsewhere within OA. And as I was reminded, we had just heard in the Big Book previously that step 3 was only a beginning. And though our step 3 decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. That, I realized, while difficult and painful at times, that was so ultimately cleansing and healing. You know, if step 4 begins this process of unblocking, you know, again, to backtrack a little, but in step two, I learned that my higher power, who I choose to call God, was deep down inside me, but blocked or obscured. I think the big book says because of calamities, pomp, and worship of others. And then in step three, I made a decision to place my will and my life into this care of God by moving on to work the remaining steps. And now step four begins that work, and I found that by getting rid of the things blocking me from God, he entered my life. And that life transformed from miserable and unmanageable to the happy, joyous, and free that I've heard and of in this book. So now when I think of the inventory process, be it in step four or the 10 steps that I do regularly, it's not with dread, but with anticipation of the deeper spiritual connection each brings. So as I've heard on this line, you know, the only way to do step four wrong or ineffectively is not to do it. So I try to remind myself, just like Nike has always said, just do it. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks again, Kathleen.
Thank you, Sandy W. Okay, who else would like to share on this first paragraph, page 64, therefore we started upon a personal inventory?
Irene Michelle. B.
Irene B. Michelle, what's the first initial of your last name?
J.
J as in John?
Sure enough.
Okay, great, thanks. Okay.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Ginger C.
Ginger C. Anyone else?
Julianne.
Julianne.
G.
And what's the first initial? G? Okay. Okay, yeah. We'll stop right there. So I have Irene B, Michelle J, Deborah G, Ginger C, and Julianne G. So go ahead, Irene B.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B, a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Step four, oh my gosh, I have so much I want to say, and I don't know where to begin. Step four, the dreaded step, that I have learned to have some respect for it. But I thank God and my sponsor that my sponsor prepared me with a solid steps one, two, and three. She said, you don't do them, you don't work them, you live them. So I learned to identify my powerlessness and my reliance on God. And with that improved relationship with God, I was able to handle the difficulty of facing the muck to whatever degree I could, because I have been so disassociated from self that I did not know what I did not know. And they say that you have to be abstinent to be able to work through this process and work effectively. And I believe it, because $1 million worth of therapy told me that until I put the food down, I was not going to be able to get in touch with my feelings. And it's been 2.5 years since I've engaged in bulimic behavior. And thank God for that, because this throwing out process, gosh, it surely takes time. One thing about God is that he doesn't work on the same timeline as I do. He doesn't work nearly as fast as I do. Never mind that I spent the first 40 years in bulimia. And, you know, that's a long time, but yet I want to feel good about myself immediately, and it doesn't work that way. And what blocks me is that I can't let go. And the reason I can't let go, because the beliefs that I have, my core beliefs about myself, the world, and everything in it, are not in my intellectual brain. My intellectual brain understands so very much. My intellectual brain is brilliant. My intellectual brain is rational. unfortunately for me, my prehistoric brain, oh man, it's got some twisted thinking in there. It's got some weird core beliefs. And I just had to continue to work on my spiritual experience and do everything in my power to help the process, to try to uncover, discover, discard, and replace that twisted thinking with good, wholesome, God-filled, full of grace thinking. And for that, I thank God and you guys and the giants on whose shoulders I stand. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, Michelle J., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. I'm calling in from Arkansas, trying to take my seat here and trying to get over I always get a little anxious when I try to talk. But, you know, I look back at the fourth step, and it's so fun to listen to everybody's rendition and what they experienced and how they went through it. And when I look back a year ago when I did my first fourth step, oh my, did I make a mess of it. And so I'd like to speak to those who have never done a fourth step or are a little, you know, wanting to do one. You know, I started out, I tried to do it by myself. And I had read all this stuff and tried to figure it out. And I had this column, but without a guide, without somebody, Lori C. finally, you know, did it for me. But before then, I had this humongous list, hours and hours of grueling, painful emotions and past and people. I had my list of my people. And I had pages of what they had done. And I got so lost in that. And it wasn't until, I couldn't finish it. I couldn't do it. It was horrible. And I got stuck there. But then when I finally was led to Lori C. And I had this quick, easy way of doing the first column, doing the second column, the third column. Well, I just did it. And I did it so quickly. And when I got to the fourth step, oh, wow. It was incredible. Because all of a sudden, I just saw me for the first time, and I saw all of my character defects for the very first time, and all the other columns, they just went away. Literally, they just disappeared. None of that mattered anymore. All of a sudden, I saw all kinds of things about myself that I didn't know were there, and boy, I was ready to do the house cleaning. I wanted that stuff gone. And as soon as I allowed it to happen, my God to start removing those. Wow, it's amazingly light and beautiful. And all the other stuff didn't matter anymore to me. Anyways, with that, I'll pass. I just want to say that don't be afraid, but have a good leader. Have somebody lead you and guide you through this step. And, of course, don't do it before you do step 1, 2, and 3. That gets a little rough, too. But just do it in the right order. And do it with a good guide, and it's the amazing journey that will just bring you to freedom. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Ginger C.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathleen, and all the team for your service this morning and making this meeting possible. I love this meeting. And I had experiences when I've done the fourth step of seeing who I am and seeing how these areas in my life, my way I look at things, the way I do things, all those things, character defects and my behaviors and how I harm and all that, that keeps me away from that spiritual flow to my source. But it isn't until I do that step work do I actually feel the shift and have the experience of getting freer. It's like I'm getting freer and freer and closer to my source again. And I've had wonderful, wonderful experiences doing 4th and 5th steps because I pray before doing them so I can center myself in that source, so I can do that experience work to get closer to that source. And I recently, because when I do a 10-step, it's like I do a mini fourth with my sponsor. I just got off the phone with her. And I did one recently, and in the middle of doing that, I felt a physical shift within my body, an emotional shift, because I believe that my emotions are connected with my body. It was just like a poof. You know, it was powerful. These steps are powerful. And I no longer was stuck in that place that I was before I did that fourth step. And again, my meditation was better. My connection was better, you know, because I'm always connected. You know, I feel like I'm always connected, but when I'm in those different old ideas, old situations that I used to be in that take me to do the work with that fourth step experience, do I get that experience of being closer? And freer. And I just love these beautiful 12 steps, and I can't say enough, and I hope everyone has a wonderful, abundant, prosperous love field, getting back to that love field day. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Ginger, so you're up next, followed by Julianne G.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just feel so privileged that today because of God's grace, let's give credit where it's due, I'm so undisciplined. I absolutely do not do this at all. But I keep seeking and I keep asking and my muscles keep moving, because this is what it's all about, this fact-finding and fact-facing process. And a buddy of mine in AA says that all the time. I am never shy with my 11th step review. You know, I can go into a meeting and you look at me wrong and then I cop a resentment. You know, it's so simple. And thank God these disturbances keep happening, because I think that's what keeps me so engaged and keeps me moving. But the truth be told, I have a third step problem all the time. I'm just a little bit too much of me, my problems, my emotions, my feelings. It's Ginger. In the end of the day, it's always the axiom. Every 10th step comes back to me. So we have this process to clear it out, because as an addict, I lack power. We know that is my problem. And the only defense is that power to keep me from picking up today. So really, what choice do we have but to dig into this work? And I love that this friend of mine really showed me how important it is to dig in 3 as well as 4. You know, that third column, that's where I'm feeling threatened or hurt. That's when my boxing gloves come on. And life is about keeping my hands open and soft to receive all people. But I feel threatened or hurt. It feels like life and death to me, too. I can't differentiate the true from the false. And my hands start to close into a fist, and I become a boxer again, because I got to protect me at all costs. So I'm just so grateful that I continue this practical program of action, and I continue to pick up when I'm disturbed, not when I'm resentful. We know it's our number one offender. When I'm disturbed, even slightly bothered, I got to see what's going on, because I know it's me at the end of the day and probably my selfishness and my self-centeredness. So again, we practice this. We practice it imperfectly, but we just don't stop. We can't afford to stop, because a friend of mine always says, work it today harder than you did yesterday. And that's what I've been trying to do. And God willing, on October 30th, that was my beginning with this whole process, this whole unfolding, this whole new world that has emerged, because God put that fork down. I didn't put the fork down. I didn't surrender that food. I brought the food with me to the convention, but God had other plans. And just a shout out too, if you haven't signed up, it's not too late. October 31st is that deadline. And you won't know if you don't go. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Okay, before I take Julianne G., just a reminder, on page 164, the first paragraph, therefore we started upon personal inventory. And we'll be taking some more names later, so looking forward to your shares on that. So go ahead, please, Julianne G.
Hi, I'm Julianne. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm glad to be at this meeting. And what I wanted to say is, like, I didn't even know what my problem was, you know, until I took inventory. You know, I had guilt of things that I did wrong, you know, but I didn't really want to know, probably. You know, I was too busy eating. I didn't really want to know what my part is, and I definitely didn't want to take action, because when I'm eating, I'm, like, numbed out and more tired and obsessed with my disease. I heard someone say the other day, when they pick up the food, they have, you know, one problem. They don't really have the other issues that are going on in their life. Like, it's because the food just takes so much out of them. And I agree with that. And then when I took, as I was taking inventory, and really after I gave it away, I got to see that I was resentful at everybody I ever knew. And that let me know, like, that I really had a self-centered problem. And, you know, that was just good to see, because, you know, not knowing or not wanting to know, avoiding what the real problem is not going to help me get better, you know. And so I'm grateful for this inventory. I tried taking inventory before I put the food down, and I just couldn't be honest. And so thankfully I was able to get abstinent, honestly abstinent, and like, you know, face, you know, what was really there. That was a beautiful thing. And that also showed me the power of this disease and how it blocks me from God and from the truth. So glad to be in recovery today, and I pass.
Thank you, Julianne G. Okay, before we take more names, on page 64, the first paragraph, Leslie M. is going to make a convention announcement. So take it away, Leslie.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Yes, my name is Leslie M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. I have to just say, I am so excited about this convention. I am one of those that when they heard the announcement, I signed up that day. So I have been waiting months to go to this event. You know, it's just, I went to last time. It was such a powerful weekend that it really changed my program. And we're lucky enough that the deadline for registration has been extended. It's now this Thursday, Halloween, October 31st. So treat yourself to this convention. It's something that you know, that if at all possible, it needs to be experienced. We need to take that action and do this for ourselves. There are still rooms at the Renaissance Hotel, which is very close to the Marriott, and there's a dedicated bus service back and forth. You know, it's November 15th through the 17th, obviously this year, 2019, at the Marriott International. It's at Newark Liberty Airport. You know, it's going to be 800 of the people that you hear share on the line. And it's going to be also the people that you don't hear share on the line. But the experience is going to be so unbelievable that I'm chomping at the bit. I heard this morning, I think it's 18 days until the convention. And I just know that the power of this fellowship and the power of my higher power is going to be at this convention. And I am going to receive the gifts that are, you know, they're going to come my way. And it's a celebration of recovery. And it's a celebration of what this A Vision for You meeting can do for you. And I'm really looking forward to placing some faces with all the voices that I hear every day. So if at all possible, sign up today. All you have to do is go to the website, www.avision4u.info. And all the information is there. There's also a bulletin board if you need to share, if you need a room, you need a roommate, you want to get a ride, you need a ride, whatever. Get on there. You won't regret it. It's amazing. And thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Yes, you won't regret it. Sign up if you haven't. Okay, we're on page 64, the first paragraph. Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. And who else would like to share on this one paragraph?
Charles H.
Okay, I heard Charles H. And who came after Charles?
Reggie? Laura R.
Laura R. There was another one in there, I think.
Beverly
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B. and Beverly
R.
Beverly, what's it for? R, okay.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. One more. Okay, we'll stop there then. So I have Charles H., Laura R., Julie E.B., Beverly R., and Reggie O. So go ahead, Charles H.
Thank you very much, moderator, for your service. Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, in this case, the big book is trying to tell me that subtraction is really addition. And I can remember as a newcomer having such a hard time defining abstinence. And then this is fact-facing for me, and I could so identify with the newcomer saying, you know, when we throw this saying around, no sugar, no flour, right? And then turn around and say, well, yeah, I eat fruits. Okay, so that throws that theory out the window. Like a newcomer, I was like, man, I'm trying to not have any sugar like what I hear in the room. And that's fact-facing for me. Like you said, okay, no sugar, right? Most of OA is saying no sugar. And it took years and years for me to develop abstinence, my own abstinence. I was trying to have no sugar whatsoever. They never told me, oh, no processed sugar, or they never told me no added sugar, or they never told me the fifth item. And I shared it on a social media, and people were going crazy. And I'm like, you know what? I love it. It's disturbance. So, you know, when I first came to this meeting in 2012, I was disturbed. And I'm not that disturbed anymore. But if a speaker doesn't disturb me, I'm walking out. I'm hanging the phone up. So I say all that to say this, right? It's fact-facing. I got to find out what alcohol damages me in comparison with sugar. Because the newcomer, I remember as a newcomer, I'm like, man, I can't. I went to Virginia Beach, the first convention, and when they didn't have any orange juice and ketchup, I binged. I stayed in my beautiful oceanfront Virginia Beach hotel room, and I binged. And today, orange juice and ketchup is not on my food plan, but I had to develop my alcohol. I had to develop my own personal alcoholic food. So if you're a newcomer out there, this is a fact-facing thing. Don't go around trying to play that no sugar, because without some type of sugar, you're going to die. And I ain't scared to say that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Charles H. Okay, Laura R., you're up next, followed by Julie E.B.
Thank you. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater out in Greeley, Colorado. I'm so grateful to be on the line amongst people that I am just so humbled to grow with. I look at this paragraph, and one, it says that we need to take regular inventory, and if we don't, we're going to go broke. And just like I heard a little earlier, a fellow sharing about, it's just great to realize that we get disturbed. I got disturbed this morning. And I just kind of laugh at myself because it's like, ugh, why could I just not let it go? But of course not. Nope. You know, husband says something and I'm like, wait a second. I need to be right. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's just, what does it say? The victor only seems to win. The moment is short, like the moments of triumph is short-lived. And it's exactly what happened. It's like, wait a second, no matter what, I was wrong. And it just doesn't matter. It's like, why am I, like the individual said, like taking your gloves off and or putting them on and I'm going to bat, you know, you're threatening something and I didn't do anything wrong. And it's just, it's so funny. But the bottom line is I love what it says. For some reason, this word, and this is what I've been kind of focusing on lately, it's an effort to discover the truth. Man, when I do inventory with others and they look at it, it blows me away at how much delusion that I live in. It's kind of scary. And that is how, you know, it's funny. I hate to even say this, but one of my resentments the other day is that I have to play with my son. It sucks that I even said that. You know, it's like, wow, really? Yeah, that's how selfish I am. But it's so funny when a fellow from this fellowship said, so you're upset that, you know, all it is mommy, will you play with me? I'm like, oh, how dare you ask me if I would play with you? Why am I so upset with that? Because it threatens everything. One, I don't want to play. Two, like, if I don't play, I'm a bad mom. You know, da, 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 da. It's so insane. And all he asked me was a question. Wow. You know, like, I could say yes, I could say no. I live in story. I live in delusion. And if I don't do this work, that's my life. I don't want to live there. I want to live amongst my people. I want to see the reality. I want to know the truth about what's blocking me so I can uncover, discover, discard, and live at peace, you know, in the sunlight of the spirit, in the fourth dimension. And I have no hope of that because I can't see. And like someone said, I can't differentiate the truth from the false without God and with the help of you guys and with this work. So I am so grateful to be a member of this fellowship and just doing it one day at a time, trying to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Laura R. Okay, Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Beverly R.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered here today in Colorado. Many, many inches of snow, very cold, but I'm really grateful today to have this program. And for me, the fact-finding, fact-facing was always full of shame and self-loathing until I did the steps really in order. And when I had realized how powerless I was to change not only my food but my character defects, and then just came to believe maybe something bigger than me could, and I turned my will in my life, I had to turn it over to a caring higher power. Care means the provision of everything I need for my health, welfare, and maintenance of my condition. My higher power would get drowned out by my lower power telling me I was a piece of crap and not good enough. And so, that three solidly in place, it's just a matter of doing the next step. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, Beverly R., it's your turn, followed by Reggie O. Go ahead, Beverly.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello, this is Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland, and I am still struggling with my food, and I am doing the fourth step right now, and I said to my sponsor something I wrote, but I thought I was nearly perfect, and she thought it was funny that I was joking, but I wasn't joking. I really used to think that I was nearly perfect, and one day I woke up to the startling realization, you're not perfect, Beverly, you're not God, only God is perfect, and we just have to try to step out of the way and let our higher power, the light of our higher power, shine through. And I just wondered, I am a student. I don't think you're supposed to mention these books and everything, but it's a very famous book. And I wonder if the people who wrote AA read that book about this man who was an actor. And it seems to be written so eloquently in the big book. He was an actor, and he was the best actor for the play. He was the star, he was the leading actor, and he was trying to convince the director that he could act everyone else's part and do everything else in the play, and the director had to keep saying, oh my dear, if his name was John, which his name isn't John, oh dear John, you are going to be the best actor. You are going to play the part so well. You don't have to play other people's parts. And I see myself as that actor in the play and in the big book, wanting to hog the limelight, wanting to steal the show. I am bright. I am smart. I am the best. Second place isn't good enough. It has to be first place. Me, 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 me. And then I say to my sponsor, you say that I'm selfish? I didn't know that I'm selfish. You say that I'm self-centered? I didn't know that I was self-centered. And then I said, on my reflection, I said, it just shows how self-centered, how selfish I am, that I didn't even realize it. And someone likened being in OA to peeling off layers of the onion, and it's layers of denial and layers of delusion. We're peeling off gradually until we come to the truth that we are beautifully imperfect, imperfect angels, as a song says. We are imperfect angels. What a blessing, and I pass. I would also like to know if at the end of the meeting, if you could give me, I don't know if it's usual, to give me the name of, to give me Leslie's telephone number, the lady who is talking about the content, so I could get some information from her.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's going to be possible, but I know she's on the phone list. So thank you, Beverly R.
She's
okay,
what,
Reggie.
What's her last initial? Leslie what?
Leslie W.
Leslie Reggie. W. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You're welcome, Beverly. Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Okay, Reggie O, you're up next, and I will have some time for a couple more names, I think, after Reggie O. So if you'd like to share on page 64, the first paragraph, please be ready to unmute so I can get your name. So go ahead, Reggie O.
Hi, thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, and good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O, very gratefully recovered here in the Woodland Hills area of Los Angeles. And I'll tell you, this morning I am like so grateful that, you know, reading this, first of all, some time ago I heard someone say, you know, the steps in this program are all about three things: trusting God, cleaning house, and helping others. And, you know, by the time we get to this point, the personal, or me, you know, I get to this point, the personal inventory, I put down the food, because if I don't put down the food, I'm actually not going to see the stock and trade. You know, I put down the food, I believe in a power greater than myself, and I surrender that power, and the light starts coming on. And so this store, which is a beautiful analogy, this store, I get to see, you know, all these things have been staying in dust, and they've been old and worn and this and that, you know, but I don't see them until the light comes on. And the light starts coming on, you know, in steps 1, 2, and 3, and I have the opportunity to just do this amazing house cleaning. And that, of course, you know, everything helps me get closer to God. The more cleaner my house is, the closer I am to God, the more service I can be to other people, and the amazingly betterment of my life in every area. And this morning I had such an experience to cause me to have gratitude for this process. In that I woke up this morning. I'm in the Woodland Hills. The fires are pretty close to us, and my household was packing up bags and moving out around 5 o'clock or so this morning, and everything was kind of like a flurry, etc. And then my phone wouldn't work. I couldn't make calls out. I couldn't make calls in. I kind of followed that for a moment, but there was this underlying stillness which allowed me not to flip out. And I was supposed to be doing announcements this morning. I could text, so I texted Leah to tell her that my phone wasn't working. And since that time, I have looked at going. I do have a place to stay. However, I'm not crazy, and I would be. I otherwise would be. I would have gotten caught up in everything, and I'm peaceful, which is amazing to me that I can sit here, you know, with a cup of tea and tell you all this when everything was going on for the past couple of hours, like it was. And so, I don't know if there's anything to say besides that. I'm taking it easy. I'm listening. Went through this last year with the fires, and had an amazing experience. That's what I know. I know that this program works, and I know that this fact finding process, you know, it's like there's sometimes people do in the fourth step inventory and even in the, you know, 10th step, and it's really, and it is what this is all about. And where did I get the ball rolling, you know? It's when I have problems, when I'm disturbed, when my life isn't working in any area, in any of the devil wants, there's something in me, and this is a huge beginning process to find out what that is and release it. Thanks so much. I pass.
Okay, thanks, Reggio. And would anyone else like to? I've got time for about two-minute shares on this paragraph, page 64.
Becca R.
Bonnie G.
Dan L.
And Bonnie. Okay, I got Becca and Bonnie. So go ahead, Becca. And you have about 2 minutes, Becca and Bonnie. So go ahead, Becca.
Hey, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater from Kentucky. And I just wanted to comment on the fact-finding and fact-facing statement, because for a long time I thought that part of inventory was to relive that shame and guilt. And something my sponsors really helped me see is that, you know, it's an inventory. It's all factual. Like, I'm looking to see what is no longer serving me anymore. It's not to beat myself up or get back into that self-loathing. It's to say, oh, this isn't comfortable anymore. I'm ready to do something different. And really, that's all I wanted to share. Hope everybody has a great day. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Becca R. All right, Bonnie, go ahead and the first initial of your last name, please.
Bonnie G. in South Florida. And Becca said most of what I was going to say. The couple of additions would be the last sentence of the previous paragraph where it says, our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. And remembering that we've made a decision to take this personal inventory, but looking at it as fact-facing like a business and getting rid of those damaged and unsaleable goods, I can get rid of them promptly and without regret. And the thing that I've experienced taking it through the big book way is when I limit myself to those 19 or 20 words in each one of my problem areas, there's no room for me to get into the emotions that made it so difficult and so fearful in the past. So that, you know, I'm looking for the success. I'm looking to find what it is that I need to get rid of. And I'll be guided along the way at doing that. And thanks, I'll pass.
Okay, thank you, Bonnie G. All right, so we will go ahead and close the meeting this morning. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to Team Monday, Leslie M., Athena B., Sandy W., KP, Mo H., and Janice PM. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, KP, will you please read a vision for you?
This is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you on the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.